My eyes flicked open. The clock read 4:51 a.m., and I was wide awake. I'd been dreaming. Rich colors, shapes, and places, but couldn't remember all the details. It didn't matter. I climbed out of bed and shuffled down the hallway. Rachel Swenson sat in an armchair by the front windows. The pup was asleep in her lap. "Hey," I said. She turned, face paled in light from the street, eyes a glittering reflection of my grief and guilt. "Hey, that dog can sleep anywhere." I pulled a chair close. Maggie slipped an eye open, yawned, stretched, and went back to sleep. "I should be staying at my place," Rachel said. "I like you here." She tickled two bandaged fingers across the top of the pup's head and ran her eyes back toward the windows. Rachel was a sitting judge for the Northern District of Illinois and one of the finest people I knew. She was also damaged because she was my girlfriend, or rather had been. "I was going to make a cup of tea," I said. "You want one?" She shook her head. I stayed where I was, and we sat together in the darkness. "You can't sleep?" she said. "Dreams." She nodded, and we sat some more. "What's a knife for, Rach?" She looked down at the knife tucked into her left hand. "I got it from the kitchen." "Why?" Her gaze drifted to a small table and the slab of cheese that sat on it. "You want a piece?" I shook my head. She held the blade up between us. "You thought I was going to hurt someone?" "Just wondering about the knife, Rach." "I'm fine." It had been almost a month since the attack. Most of the swelling in her face was gone, the bruises reduced to faint traces of yellow. "What did you dream about?" she said.
"I usually don't remember."
"Usually?" "Sometimes I get premonitions. Twice before. I wake up and feel certain things have happened. If they've already happened, they're not premonitions."
"You're right."
"Are you going to make your tea?" "In a minute." "Tell me about them," she said, cutting off a small slice of cheese and nibbling at a corner.
"The dreams?"
"The premonitions." "I got the first one when my brother died."
"Philip?"
"I was 17. Woke up in the middle of the night and walked out to our living room."
"And?"
"I sat in front of the phone and stared at it for 10 minutes until it rang. The warden told me he'd killed himself, hung himself in a cell with his bedsheet. But it wasn't anything I didn't already know."
"I'm sorry."
"Second time was a couple years back, the night my father died. I remembered my eyes opening, tasting the old man's passing like dried dust at the back of my throat. I pulled out the whiskey that night and filled a glass. Then I sat by the phone again until it rang."
"And now?" Rachel said.
"That's a thing. I'm not sure this time. But it's something." "I believe so. Yes." She got up from the chair and settled the pup on the couch. "I'll make the tea." I listened to her rattle the tap in the kitchen, then set the kettle. I got up and pulled a book off the shelf, Thucydides' History of the Peloponnesian War. It took me a moment to find the passage, Book 2, Chapter 7, The Historian's Description of the Plague of Athens. All speculation as to its origin and its causes I leave to other writers, whether lay or professional. For myself, I shall simply set down its nature and explain the symptoms by which perhaps it may be recognized by the student, if it should ever break out again. This I can the better do, as I had the disease myself, and watched its operation in the case of others. I thought about Thucydides, surrounded by death, touched himself, scribbling down its essence for us to read 2,400 years later. I'd lied to Rachel. I knew what I feared, knew why I feared it.